Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L-A-N. Or you can tweet me at Bruce Salin. It is time for some spiritual talk. And I always find after talking to Sherilyn and getting heated up over politics, I can use the calm voice and wisdom of Pastor Drew Sams, who is now the head pastor at Pell Air Presbyterian Church. He and his wife, Erica, live in Newberry Park, California, and are the proud parents of just turned two-year-old Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on. You know, the smooth voice, that smooth jazz that led us into this segment.
That's my son.
So talented.
Thank you. Well, let's start off, as we always do, with a health and welfare update on your young son, Judah.
Well, Judah is just over 2 years old. Ready for this? This Saturday is his first swim lesson. So living in Southern California, we've got to get him good at swimming.
Oh, wow. I remember that. We had the most wonderful swim teacher. And both boys learned pretty quickly, and it's very important. So that'll be fun. You'll enjoy that for sure. And from everything you've described, he's a highly physical kid, so he'll probably take to water just like his dad does.
Yeah, so much fun. Can't wait to see how he does. I'll report back next week.
Please. So a lot's going on in the world. We were talking about the abduction of the girls in Nigeria in the previous segment. It sort of leads to the bigger issue of the persecution of Christians throughout a lot of the world today, and how I am sort of stunned at how underreported that is. And I also, of course, wrote about being in Boston and some of the observations I had in Boston. So I'd love your thoughts on kind of the worldview and a little of thoughts on more of the perspective of what I got from being in a big college town and what you think of everything.
Yeah, you know, it's so easy for us just wherever we live to kind of think that the world either revolves around us or the world is much like what we experience, and our only I guess input from what happens around the world comes from typically from media outlets, you know, what we see on the news, what we read in newspapers, on the blogs, whatever channels we allow in. And so in many ways we miss out on many of the things happen around the world, and you know, this segment can't even begin to scratch the surface of all that is going around. But you know, you think, as you mentioned, persecution of Christians. A lot of people don't think that you know, here in the U.S. We don't have it like they do, for example, in Nigeria, in Egypt. A lot of people don't know that there's some just significant stuff going on. Also in India, we have mission partners around the world, and one of our connections in Egypt and even some regions of the world that I can't even say on air, as odd as that is, for fear of persecution. We can't even reveal some of the regions that they're in. For the potential of persecution. And there's a lot of things that we have to be careful of, even in our email conversations with some of our partners in those parts of the world. As odd as it sounds, we have to speak in code. You know, for example, we can't say, "I'm praying for you," but we'll say, "Hey, I had a conversation with your dad last week," and that's code word for I'm praying to, you know, our Heavenly Father. So little things that, how interesting is that? Here we are, 2014. We have to speak in code with some of our partners in various parts of the world because they monitor those emails. And if their location
we have to speak in code in college campuses in the U.S.
It's true, yeah.
I mean, they have all these speech codes that are basically censorship at many, many, many colleges. It's unbelievable. Not to mention who's not allowed to speak at commencement services. Condoleezza Rice, one of the more accomplished women in our history, is shouted down by a small group of radical students and professors?
Yeah,
what is going on?
What seems so different, too, within our, here in the U.S. now, it seems like there's a just a tremendous leveraging of the vocal minority to impact the majority in decisions, more than I've ever seen. You know, I'm a young guy, so I haven't been around as long. But in my lifetime, it seems like we're at a very unique time. I think also because of media, we can broadcast, no matter how small that vocal minority is, in ways that seem so much bigger than it actually is. You know, Louis Giglio, what was that? He was a pastor in Atlanta. Was it last year, the year before? and for comments he made from a couple decades ago, was pulled from speaking. And, you know, and people might listen and say, well, he should have been pulled. But what I've noticed is that what I would call a healthy process of discernment to choose who do we have come speak at a commencement or a huge event. No longer are those healthy processes gone through. Now it's just, okay, how do we react to all the chatter out there, and how do we not damage our PR?
I see so little courage among the administrators at some of these colleges that there's a very small vocal minority. It might even be, in some cases, just one or two people that object to something, and they just are so afraid. This is an abridgment of our freedoms across all boundaries. And the irony of where we started with all this is that it seems the only group we're allowed to pick on worldwide and in America with impunity is white Christian males.
And boy, and even how you dial it down to white Christian males, it's true. You know, in many ways, sadly, when you look at, you know, perhaps some part of human history, it was the white Christian males that were doing the oppressing.
Yes, know. Hundreds of years ago.
Yes, yes, but...
Okay, what religion doesn't have a dark side?
Yes.
Okay, yet we've got more value and good from Jesus and Judaism than we have from any other movement like communism or any of the horrors of the 20th century.
Well, and I wonder, too, if the, you know, the courage you were speaking about, the way that the media, of course, they want to sensationalize everything. It makes for a better story. But, you know, the pictures that they give of Christians being courageous, are the Westboro Baptists, for example, with their signs, you know, or, yes, or somebody burning copies of the Quran. And so we've, from a media standpoint, we've distorted even what it means for us to truly be courageous, to stand up for what we believe in a loving way, in a way that represents our faith. And so then we're almost embarrassed to even be courageous because for fear of being associated with those groups.
So true. We are out of time. Just off the top of your head, do you have anything you can offer me from scriptures that will just make me feel a little better?
Well, this weekend actually I preached on Abraham and Isaac. And there's this great story, which you know very well, where God asks Abraham to sacrifice his only son. And I love how at the end of that whole story, Abraham names the mountain, and it's not, I did it, I accomplished it, but rather, the Lord will provide. And what a step of faith that we can today say, you know what, in the midst of all this chatter, in the midst of the world going south, the Lord will provide. And we've got to trust His faithfulness even beyond our ability to accomplish it.
All right, Surfer Drew, quickly tell us where we can find you, and I'll bid you adieu.
All social networks at Surfer Drew, and our new website at the new church is Bel Air Press. With 1S.org.
Thank you, Pastor Drew. Talk to you next week. Stay tuned for a special guest after these messages.
Dude, I know. His name is Bruce Allen. He used to have a Jufro. He was born and raised out in the town of LA. That's where he went to UCLA, got his MBA. Produced his first film at age 24. That's when he really started to score. Vice president of ABC. Yeah, that's right. He's a motherfucking G. Yeah.